You may be covered with tattoos, or you may find the whole idea of tattooing completely mystifying, but either way, we hope today's Please Explain will explain a lot. Joining us are Lars Krutak, an anthropologist who has studied and written about the art of tattooing as it is practiced all over the world. He works in the Department of Anthropology at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., and Scott Campbell is an artist and tattoo artist here in New York. His clients have included Courtney Love, Sting, Orlando Bloom, Marc Jacobs, many others. We're thrilled to have both of you here today. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we invite our listeners to participate in these Please Explain conversations. Our number is 212-433-WNYC, or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. Lars, what is a tattoo by definition?
I like to go back to a 1777 definition because it's inclusive of not only tattooing but scarification, more or less an indelible mark or figure fixed upon the body by insertion of a pigment under the skin or by the production of scars.
And where does the word tattoo come from?
It's a Polynesian term that was brought back from the Cook voyages to Tahiti in the mid-18th century. And it's actually onomatopoeia. Basically, it's the sound that the tattooing tools, they hand tap in Polynesia, and that's the sound that it makes as it touches the skin, and it's tatau, tatau.
To call something a tattoo, must ink be used?
Not necessarily, because like I said in the former definition, scarification is one form of permanent body modification. So these are both two forms of body modification that are permanent. So I think they fall under the same, you know, rubric, basically.
Scott, in the work that you do, do you always use ink?
Yes, always use ink. I know there are, you know, in recent years, you know, you see and hear about scarification and branding and different sorts of body modification. But yeah, I strictly stick to with ink and needles.
And are there certain brands, or can I use, will any ink do?
No, I mean, there's, you know, nowadays there's all sorts of different manufacturers of tattoo ink. You know, a lot of the better inks are pigments that are mixed up by the artists themselves. But there's a whole range of companies now making them.
Now we mentioned scarification. Are we seeing much of that? I know I've been seeing young men with plugs inserted into their earlobes recently. I think they're called gaugers or spacers. Is that part of the tattoo culture?
Not in my shop. Like, I've never really gotten involved with that. I know other shops have, but it's never really been my thing. I come from like an art and illustration background, so if I can't draw a picture with it, then I'm not much good at it.
Well, Lars, what's known about the origins of the art of tattooing? Is it true that it goes back to the earliest humans?
Well, the earliest human evidence that we have actually is of a 7,000-year-old mummy from South America. And this individual from the Chinchorro culture actually has a tattooed mustache. So the earliest human evidence we have is cosmetic, which today, obviously, many people enhance their beauty through tattooing. And then the second oldest evidence we have is of the famous Iceman or Ötzi Iceman that was discovered 21 years ago in the Alps. And his tattoos are probably the most ancient medicinal forms of tattoos. And curiously, about 80% of them line up with classical acupuncture points and acupuncture meridians to treat various joint complaints.
So they were marking the spots to treat him his aches and pains, his arthritis?
It seems that these applications occurred on multiple times because the pigments are so dark that my friends actually that work at the York Institute of Mummies in Bolzano, Italy, they believe that multiple applications occurred. It wasn't just one time. And his body was racked by arthritis. CT scans revealed, you know, this chronic deterioration in his joints. So we think that the tattoos had something to do with relieving that. And some of these tattoos were placed in places where he couldn't have marked them himself. So there was a practitioner assisting him.
Well, you mentioned Polynesia, South America, the Alps. That would suggest that tattooing occurs all over the world.
Yeah, I think it's a pan-human phenomenon, and you know, tattooing is probably one of our most natural art forms, and it's a tool, much like language we use to communicate concepts. I think that tattooing sort of evolved to do the same thing, but it's visually striking. It's the first thing that you would see, especially if you encounter it on somebody's face. And it's just remarkable how many similarities you see across the indigenous world, where mainly my focus of research is on the indigenous realm of tattooing.
Scott, have you been inspired by work that you see in other parts of the world?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, when I first started tattooing, one of the most romantic things about the job was the freedom to travel and just the ability to kind of, you know, hear about a tattooer in Japan and then actually go to Japan and get to work with them and then, you know, hear about, you know, tattooers in Polynesia and go and work with them. And it's, no, definitely. I mean, now it's kind of, you know, the modern culture of tattooing is kind of this blend of all of them, but no, absolutely, it hugely influences what tattooing is today.
Well, Japan, there was a tattoo culture, wasn't there, where a person, usually a woman, was seen as kind of an artist's canvas. That isn't as common today, is it?
No, I mean, there is a big tattoo history in Japan, you know, it was more underground then. I mean, men and women would get it. A lot of times, you know, there were like, you know, wives of the tattoo artist would kind of be the canvas of the tattoo artist and the subject and or muse. And but yeah, it's definitely it wasn't out in the open until recent decades.
Yeah. And then there's also the indigenous Ainu people who, up until 1998, when the last Ainu woman passed away with traditional skin cut tattoos, they might have had the oldest continuous tradition of tattooing in the world, stretching back some 10,000 years to the ancestral Hmong people that lived in Hokkaido. Mainly we're talking about northern Japan.
They are the indigenous people of Japan before people came over from China or Korea, whatever, the modern Japanese.
Exactly.
And then the Maori have a whole different kind of tattoo culture. It's pretty easy to spot one or the other. Are there certain symbols that are generally relatable to the various cultures?
Well, in the Maori case, if you meet a man who has facial moko, that's the first thing that you'll see. And oftentimes that was related to sort of chiefly status, aristocratic's status, but also sort of the marks of honor that were basically achieved in martial combat. So individuals that proved themselves on the battlefield were allowed to wear these tattoos, which was a very highly effective procedure. And traditionally it was done sort of through a method of skin chiseling. So almost, you know, carving up someone's face. Very, very painful. But
sounds like fun. Lars Krutak is an anthropologist. He works in the Department of Anthropology at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington. Scott Campbell is a tattoo artist talking to us from Brooklyn. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Our number here is 212-433-9692, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Scott, you talked about being an artist. So are most of the people who do tattooing, do they have art training?
No, I mean, not many tattoo artists have, you know, art school backgrounds. I think, you know, definitely when I got started into tattooing, it was kind of a refuge for people who, you know, a bunch of misfit punk rock kids who, you know, had artistic ability but couldn't quite fit into the real world and get themselves a normal job. So we all ended up doing tattoos as a way to support ourselves. But I think, you know, personally, like through tattooing, I kind of got my art education and now kind of, you know, am pretty active in the art community.
Do people want original art, or are you most likely to be asked to do a heart or a snake or a flag or something that says mom?
It's the whole range. You know, people will come in with, you know, with a specific design on a piece of paper and say, I want this, you know, verbatim translated onto my skin. And you know, then I have people that come in and just be like, you know, do whatever you want, you know. And I think a lot of people would assume that as an artist, you know, the do whatever you want would be more alluring. But my favorite type of client is when they come in with a, you know, with at least like a starting point. You know, I can get an idea of what their, you know, emotional situation is. And kind of what, you know, what gesture they're trying to communicate, and then figure out a way to illustrate that.
Now, Lars, not all that long ago, you mostly saw tattoos on sailors or people who affected an outlaw look. Now they seem to be everywhere in every demographic group. Any idea what's led to this change?
Well, there are many different genres of tattooing. I mean, there's tribal tattooing, which I think some people are trying to connect with the spirituality of tattooing. The origins, the roots of tattooing that were basically, you know, this was an art form created by indigenous peoples. We shouldn't forget that.
But I'm just talking about the people I see on the subway, men, women of all ages, mm-hmm. people I know who tell me that I may not be able to see their tattoo, but there's one on their leg or some other part of their body.
Well, I mean, I know some people that view today's society as mass commercialism as sort of a cultural wasteland in some sense. And I don't know. I think there is that spirituality with tattooing, but there's also, like we talked about earlier, a sense of beautification or even wanting just to wear a fine work of art, because the greatest tattooists working today, they create masterpieces of skin art. And people are collecting these pieces much like you'd collect a Rembrandt or Picasso. And then there's a sense of empowerment. I mean, it really is sort of a transformation that takes place when the needle hits your skin. I mean, you're permanently changed and altered for the rest of your life. So I think, you know, overcoming that pain and that fear, it sort of provides a sense of empowerment as well.
Well, Scott, you must see all types, people who want a lot of tattooing and people who just want a little vine thing on their upper arm or something in the small of their back. Did they tell you the reasons that they want the tattoos?
I mean, you know, everybody kind of has a different reason for coming in. I mean, I think, you know, like he was saying, like, I think historically there's just, you know, we have this primal fascination with being able to alter our physical beings, you know what I mean? Just as you know, in the idea of, like, controlling our identity and wanting to, like, assert who we are, you know, outwardly, you know, tattooing is very alluring in that dynamic. But people get tattooed for, you know, all sorts of different reasons. You know, it's when, you know, whenever someone's like feeling something, be it, you know, sadness or elation or, you know, going through changes in their life, and it's, you know, significant to the point where, you know, just getting the t-shirt or bumper sticker isn't loud enough. You know, they want to physically, like, be that idea, you know, or just wear that gesture permanently.
In fact, a listener, John, left a comment on our show page about his sister's tattoo, which she got to mark the finalization of her bad divorce. So people want to commemorate events, both good and bad?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, like, I feel like tattooing can be really helpful, you know, like in the mourning process. You know, if you lose a loved one, or, you know, going through a breakup, or, you know, I feel like any time the world is subjecting you to, you know, things that are out of your control, you know, getting a tattoo is a way to very kind of, like, immediately and, like, primally take control of who you are. You know, it's you're like, I'm going through all these emotional things that I can't help but go through, and getting a tattoo kind of gives you a little bit more of sense of empowerment or, you know, control over who you are.
Lars mentioned the Makundi tradition, where the facial tattooing is so painful that people are buried up to their necks in sand so that they can't struggle. Is tattooing generally painful? How do people prepare for the needle?
Well, in many cultures, there are sets of cultural taboos before you're tattooed and also after. But I think more often than not, because I've been tattooed and scarified by many of the cultures I've studied with, I think putting your mind in a good place and just thinking about good thoughts really helps you get through the actual process.
They don't apply an anesthesia?
No, not at all. I mean, there are medicinal forms of tattooing, that's for sure, related to acupuncture and other types of treatments. But not at all, because it's really a hardening ritual in some sense. I mean, to get through that test without, you know, screaming or uttering your mother's or father's name, it just shows that you progress through a rite of passage and that you're becoming more adult. And so you're leaving behind one stage in your life to the next. So it would be inappropriate and to basically show your anguish and your fear.
Scott, how do you prepare your customers?
I mean, you know, there's no anesthesia or anything involved. Like, it's, you know, the modern tattoo process isn't as, you know, traumatic as some of the earlier versions of it have been. I mean, as far as preparation goes, you know, I just try to explain to them what it's going to feel like, you know, like just make sure they understand walking into it, what they're getting into. You know, and it is kind of like, you know, I feel like the pain is, like, the ritual of it is nice. It is a part of it. You know, it's important. Like, I wouldn't want, you're making a decision that's going to affect who you are for the rest of your life. Like, it shouldn't be as easy as, like, taking a pill or something. You know what I mean? Like, it should feel as significant as it is.
And do you say, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me before you start?
yeah, I mean, that's implied.
Scott Campbell is a tattoo artist. Lars Krutak is an anthropologist at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. And after we take a little break, we will be taking your calls and your comments. You can call us at 212-433-9692 or leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. The topic on today's Please Explain is tattooing. And we are back with our guests, Scott Campbell, who's a tattoo artist, and Lars Krutak, an anthropologist at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., actually specializing in tattooing as a part of your anthropological work.
Yeah, I've been studying this for 15 years, probably amongst about over 25 different tribes in as many countries, and it sort of happened as a fluke. As a graduate student in University of Alaska Fairbanks, just happened to walk across campus one day and saw this woman with chin stripes tattooed on her chin. I didn't know anything about it, and I just started exploring deeper.
And here you are with a full career and tattoos as a result.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, it's kind of a hobby now. It's not actually my official position at the museum. I do work closely with Native Americans, but in other sort of topics. But yeah, now I take, you know, a big trip a year, and I'm working. I just came back from Papua New Guinea for a month of research last month, and I'd have to say that of the nine groups I worked with there, they're probably the most heavily tattooed of all groups I've ever worked with anywhere in the world.
Scott, I'm assuming you have tattoos.
Yes.
Do you do them yourself, or do you trust somebody else to do them on you?
No, most of my tattoos are done by other people, you know, just tattoo artists I've worked with over the years, and I'm very, you know, critical in particular of tattoos that I do on other people, but as far as tattoos on myself go, I'm more concerned with you know, just the person I'm getting it from and my connection with them rather than the actual aesthetic.
But you're a walking ad for your own work, so you have to get good stuff at least. Now, tattoo. Go ahead.
I'm kind of a mess. I on the beach, I kind of look like the bathroom wall of CBGBs. It's kind of just a jumble of everything.
Tattoos have been associated with prison cultures. In the Soviet gulags, they were a way you could distinguish between the criminals and the political prisoners. Why do you think tattooing has been so much a part of the outlaw culture?
I mean, I've spent a bit of time in prisons in different places, you know, photographing tattoos. And actually, I was in a big penitentiary in Mexico City tattooing there for a couple months and working with the prisoners. And I mean, I think in prison culture, it's particularly interesting because it's, you know, you have this community of people that, you know, are pretty much dehumanized. You know, they're all given a uniform and a number, and it's kind of this environment that does as much as it can to strip away individuality. And so tattoos become this kind of last medium for claiming any sort of identity. And, you know, so like with the Russian tattoos, you know, they really communicate like where they stand within the hierarchy of the the prison system and kind of their background and where they come from.
But they're not using the kind of sophisticated equipment you use. They're pretty much scratching themselves and then filling it in with ink, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised, when you have that much time on your hands, the ingenuity that can devise, tattoo machines out of electric razors or Walkman motors. You know, they'll make needles by taking a guitar string and sharpening it on the grout between tiles. It's the quality of work that comes out in some prisons is actually pretty impressive.
Let's take some calls. Our first caller is Unique from Jersey City. Hi, you're on the air.
Glad to be on the show. This question is for Scott, really. I've been an admirer for a long time of tattoo art, and I'm considering getting a tattoo on my inner wrist. And I just wanted to know, I mean, you did mention some points during during the show, but are there any considerations that I should think of before I get a tattoo, aside from the pain, but maybe possible reactions or anything like that?
You mean allergic reactions?
Right.
And could I add to that? The inner wrist might be more sensitive than some other parts of the body. Are there areas you would discourage people from having tattoos on, Scott?
I mean, as far as thinking about placement, I think the main consideration is how visible you want it to be. You know, like the social implications of having a tattoo. You know, that's going to be very, visible and apparent in all your interactions in life. Or if you want to keep it, somewhere private and more discreet. The actual, there are parts of the body that are more sensitive than others, but it's the amount of time that you're going to, be uncomfortable while you're getting it is so slight that it's, really just think about where you're going to want to have it, and if you want the whole world to see it, or if it's something you want to keep to yourself.
And I've wondered about that in certain situations. In California, once saw a man who had a word I can't say on the air tattooed on his neck in old English lettering, and the waitress asked him, how did that happen? And he said, well, I was drunk and my buddies held me down, although I'm not sure that was what really happened. But you can't imagine him being able to go for a job interview unless he has high turtleneck sweaters.
Yeah, it's something that, most tattoo artists handle very carefully, like hand and neck and facial tattoos, because it's not a decision to take lightly. When that guy, when he has that tattooed on his neck, you lose the luxury of anonymity. Chances are 90% of the people that meet him won't remember his name. They'll just remember him as the guy with that tattoo on his neck, mm-hmm. It's not an easy thing to juggle sometimes.
And he's going to live with it the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Jay, hi, you're on the air. Jay from Manhattan.
Yes, hi. I'm the editor of Town & Country, and a few months ago we did a piece on tattoos, noticing that, this counterculture badges seem to be migrating to status symbols for people you might associate with the upper crust, like Caroline Kennedy or Samantha Cameron. And in the piece, basically, we discovered that there was a history of this, and that Churchill's mother had tattoos, Thomas Edison had tattoos. And I wonder what the visitors would say about the waxing and waning of tattoos as status symbols.
Lars?
Yeah, I do know of other members of aristocracy that also had tattoos, typically of sort of like souvenirs, but also sort of because they almost had everything else at their disposal. It was something that they had. It was kind of not really a form of rebellion, but I think it just actually Scott might have more to say about that than me, to tell you the truth. I'll let you go on that.
I mean, it's I've worked in, I started tattooing in shops that were definitely less prestigious than the shop I work at now. And, over the years, I've tattooed pretty much the entire spectrum of humanity, from gangsters and, biker scumbags to movie stars. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's really a, like you see the same things through all of them. You know, there's definitely a different vocabulary of images that one demographic might use more, you know, to communicate than the other one. But it's definitely like, you know, the emotions behind it are pretty consistent through everyone. And, you know, I think that society now like is definitely more open to the ideas of tattoos. And so you see more of it. It's not to say they weren't there all along. I think it's just they're definitely more visible but it kind of permeates everyone.
Let's take another call. John from Paramus, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to ask about the rate of chance of infection and whose responsibility is it, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
Are people likely to get infected?
I mean, it's not. It is, you know, anytime you scratch the surface of your skin, there's a hazard of infection. You know, the risk of infection is mostly has to do with the aftercare and, you know, what happens, how the person takes care of the tattoo. You have to treat it like any other wound and keep it clean and wash it. You know, if you get a tattoo and then go roll around in the dirt, it's going to get infected, you know, as with any skin trauma. As far as like allergies to the inks, you know, I know that's a big concern or paranoia, but, you know, the black ink is pretty much, it's charcoal based, you know, it's as non-toxic as you can get. And the pigments they have now are all, you know, screened so thoroughly that there's really not the risk of allergic reactions anymore. There used to be, you know, back in the early 80s, you would hear about, you know, some of the red pigments still, you know, containing mercury and stuff. But nowadays the health codes that surround tattoo pigments are pretty strict.
In fact, for a long time, tattooing was illegal in New York, and it was only brought back when those health codes were applied.
Right.
There were no tattoo parlors in New York 30 years ago, maybe even more recently than that.
Well, they were. They were just underground.
The underground, right. I was going to add a historical anecdote. Indigenous peoples that tattooed, they obviously were working with fairly primitive, no anesthetic, but basically carbon-based pigments. We didn't have any antibiotics or anything like that. It was highly infective in many cases, and basically these people confronted their own death every time that they were tattooed. So it was a serious occasion not to be taken lightly.
We go now to Peyton. Hi. Peyton is calling from Austin, Texas. Hi, Peyton.
Hi. Yeah, my friend has asked me to design a tattoo for him because I'm an artist. But I'm a little uncomfortable about doing it because I'm not a tattoo artist, and I wondered if you had any advice, if you would advise against this, or if you have any advice about collaborating with tattoo artists.
I mean, if your friend, you know, if you guys have that kind of connection, I'm sure there's, you know, he wants to get something from you just to kind of, you know, acknowledge your friendship, which I think is great. No, I mean, we definitely say, any good tattoo artist is going to kind of, when you bring in the design, you know, he's going to use his best judgment on how to interpret that. There are, you know, there are certain things you have to take in consideration when doing a tattoo as far as, you know, the longevity of it, the way it ages. You know, you have to make sure it looks good right there in that moment and also make sure it's going to look good 15, 20 years down the line.
Peyton, can I suggest a knife through a heart or an eagle or something like that? Or something that says mom?
That's what I was thinking about doing. Actually, just a portrait of his mom was my plan, actually.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would say just, you know, make sure you do a little bit of homework as far as the artist you're going to work with. And you know, explain to them, be like, you know, talk to them, bring them the design and say, what do you think? And they might give you some pointers, be like, oh, you need to use more black in it, otherwise it's going to fade away too fast. You know, just make sure you work with an artist that you trust. And they, hopefully if they have a conscience, they won't let you lead you astray.
Marissa from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is for either Scott or Lars. I'm wondering what they think about why tattoos provoke such a negative reaction from people who aren't tattooed. I'm even reading it in the show's comments section here, and people seem to get really angry about tattooed people, and I'm wondering what they think about that.
Lars?
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. Just because we've been talking about here for many minutes about the different reasons, the different motivations why people are tattooed. I mean, some of them are commemorative, like a birth or death. I know lots of firemen that were in 9/11 and they put their engine house numbers or their engine numbers. And those are all sort of badges of honor and remembering fallen heroes, more or less. Other people, like I said, we're talking about beautification. And I don't know, I think it's sort of people misunderstanding what these tattoos represent, because they don't know the life stories behind the people that wear them in some sense. And so they group everyone together, maybe just because I think that they just don't understand, or maybe their religious precepts just against
in some
them.
In the Jewish religion, you cannot be buried if you have a tattoo in a Jewish cemetery. Scott, do people judge you?
Not so much anymore. I mean, definitely, you know, when I first started tattooing, you know, I feel like there was a much greater divide between people who had tattoos and didn't have tattoos. You know, like it's you know, I used to be walking a tattoo shop and, like, you know, boys get eagles, girls get roses, and that was it. You never thought about it beyond that. Whereas now, you know, that you see it so much in the media and on television, and they're so prevalent that now it's not that big of a deal, you know, whether you have or have not. People generally, like, are more curious into what you have tattooed. And so I feel like there's a better understanding now than there has been.
Well, just one more thing, because we're pretty much out of time, and people uh-huh. have been asking about removal. Some people saying you should never have a tattoo if you would ever want to have it removed. But is it possible to completely remove a tattoo, Scott?
I mean, yeah, there is, you know, laser tattoo removal now. And it's, you know, I've seen it done well and I've seen it done poorly. But I would absolutely say if you don't ever consider, you know, like when you're walking in to get a tattoo, you should never have the idea like, oh, if I don't like it, I'll get it removed in your mind. Like, you should just assume you're gonna have that for the rest of your days.
I think the old maxim applies, think before you ink.
I want to thank both of you so much for telling us all about what inking involves on today's Please Explain. I've been speaking with Scott Campbell, who is an artist and a tattoo artist here in New York, and Lars Krutak, who is an anthropologist with the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. Thank you both so much.
Our pleasure. Thanks.